ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्त्वमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति
chapter 14, verse 1 to 5.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Jnananam Jnanamuttamam, Jnananam Jnanamuttamam, Yajnatva Munayat Sarve, Yajnatva Munayat Sarve, Param Siddhi Mito Gataha, Param Siddhi Mito Gataha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Jnananam Jnanamuttamam, Yajnatva Munayat Sarve, Param Siddhi Mito Gataha, Idam Jnanamupashritya, Idam Jnanamupashritya, Mamasa Dharmya Magataha, Mamasa Dharmya Magataha, Sarge Pinopajayante, Sarge Pinopajayante, Pralaye Namyatanticha, Pralaye Namyatanticha, Idam Jnanamupashritya, Mamasa Dharmya Magataha, Sarge Pinopajayante, Pralaye Namyatanticha, Mama Yonir Mahadbrahma, Mama Yonir Mahadbrahma, Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham, Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham, Sambhava Sarva Bhutanam, Sambhava Sarva Bhutanam, Tato Bhavati Bharata, Tato Bhavati Bharata, Mama Yonir Mahadbrahma, Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham, Sambhava Sarva Bhutanam, Tato Bhavati Bharata, Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya, Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya, Mutaya Sambhavantiyaha, Mutaya Sambhavantiyaha, Tasam Brahma Mahadyonihi, Tasam Brahma Mahadyonihi, Aham Bija Pradapita, Aham Bija Pradapita, Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya, Mutaya Sambhavantiyaha, Tasam Brahma Mahadyonihi, Aham Bija Pradapita, Sattvam Rajastamayiti, Sattvam Rajastamayiti, Guna Prakriti Sambhavaha, Guna Prakriti Sambhavaha, Nibadnanti Mahabaho, Nibadnanti Mahabaho, Dehe Dekhinam Avyayam, Dehe Dekhinam Avyayam, Sattvam Rajastamayiti, Guna Prakriti Sambhavaha, Nibadnanti Mahabaho, Dehe Dekhinam Avyayam.
Chapter 14, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, Yoga of Distinction of the Three Gunas. This chapter comes under Part 3 of the Bhagavad Gita. Part 3 emphasizes on knowledge, Part 1 emphasizes on karma, Part 2 on bhakti, and Part 3 on jnana. Now, in this Part 3, Chapter 13, we have concluded already, and we did the summary also. The Chapter 13 is entitled as Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga, the Yoga of Distinction of the field and the knower of the field. There he talked about the various aspects that come under the category of Prakriti and Purusha who plays about in the field. So by gaining that knowledge you become objective. And that with that objectivity, when you gain this knowledge that has been spoken in chapter 14, which is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, this entire universe is a combination of spirit and matter. And spirit is the conscious principle and matter is the material component which is made up of these three gunas. And therefore the entire manifestation is nothing but SRT, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. So when you understand these qualities individually and when you start seeing these qualities manifest in the beings around you and within you, this helps you in maintaining a proper relationship. The basis of relationship is in understanding the gunas. Every being is a combination of sattva, rajas, tamas. Nobody is exempted. When the sattva is predominating over the rajas and tamas, you are called as sattvic. When rajas is predominating over tamas and sattva, you are called as rajasic. When tamas is predominating over sattva and rajas, you are called as tamas. But all three gunas are there in every being. So when you analyze your personality and you understand your level of sattva and tamas, and similarly the others with whom you relate, then with this proper assessment you will be able to relate without any trouble. Like when you go to a zoo, an animal farm, you clearly understand the nature of that particular animal, each and every animal there. So even though you may love all the animals, how to deal with each animal, you will deal better according to their nature. Some you may go closer and pat them, some you may maintain a distance. So instantly when you understand this, then it helps you to deal with the world. So with the previous chapter you gain objectivity, you develop that ability to become a player, to enter into any field and play. And when you play, you take the gunas into account and then play accordingly, deal with it accordingly. Thus, you will not incur any vasanas or any bondage, you will snap the bondage and then you will reach the Uttama Purusha, which is the next chapter. 15. Purushottama Yoga, chapter 15. Uttama Purusha, which is beyond everything, to become Brahman. And to be able to reach that, you need certain qualities, certain conducive food habits, all that is discussed in the 16th and 17th. Then finally the 18th chapter, how to attain moksha and liberty, all that is discussed. So this entire portion 13 to 18 emphasizes on knowledge and the preparation that is needed to gain the knowledge and through knowledge the state that you achieve. Now in this Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, it's a very small chapter, it has about 27 verses only. First topic from verses 1 to 4. It is entitled as Realizing Brahman, Sages, Transcend Creation and Dissolution. Now, this topic is not part of the original. Like for example, when Krishna and Arjuna were talking, it wasn't that they said, okay, now, Krishna didn't say, okay, now chapter 2 is over, now I'm going to give you chapter 3, now chapter 3 is over, now chapter 4. He didn't say that. It was a continuous conversation. And when it was compiled by Sage Vyasa, he brought about the chapter names for us to see the thought flow. Now even that becomes difficult for us, it needed further breaking down. So people like Swami Chidananda, Swamiji, our Guru, they have done research, and they have further broken it down into few other topics. Just for us to see the pathway. Because the entire Gita is a pathway, not just haphazard discussion that's happening. So the first topic here is realizing Brahman, which is beyond the three gunas. The sages transcend, means they go beyond the creation and dissolution, birth and death. They are not tied by the manifestation. They are not affected by the creation and dissolution. Then, next topic from 5 to 15. There is nature of sattva, rajas, tamas. What is sattva? What is rajas? What is tamas? These gunas. And how they bind beings. Now, all these three gunas bind you. We are all bound by the gunas. That is because of the ignorance of our true self. Because of the ignorance of our true self, we think we are this combination and we bind ourselves to these gunas. Whatever is predominating in us, accordingly we are bound. Some are bound by tamasic gunas, some by rajasic, some by sattva. All these gunas bind you. The goal of life is to rise from tamas to rajas to sattva and go beyond. Not to stay put in sattva. Because sattva also binds you. Therefore, you are going to go beyond tamas, rajas and sattva. So he talks about the three natures, the natures of the sattva, rajas and tamas, three gunas, and how they bind you, strangle you, from 5 to 13. Then 14 to 18, consequential effects of sattva, rajas and tamas. What? See, you have a choice to act, but with reference to the consequence, you have no choice. As per your actions, you will have consequences. So if you continue to be tamasic, rajasic, sattvic, there are certain consequences. Now, because you know, why should I rise from tamas to rajas to sattva? Why should I rise from? Because then these are the consequences. Well, you are free to be tamasic, but then there are certain consequences. You are free to be rajasic, there are certain consequences. So if you understand this, then you would want to bring about the change. See, unless and until I want to bring about the change, nobody can bring about the change in me. You know, like you were discussing about this health centers, where people go for a week or 10 days, 21 days, whatever. Now, there are people whom I know, they cheat. You take something with you and then you won't stay there and you're not able to just stick to the food that they give. Now, if you do not want to change, even health centers, nobody can help you.
Yeah.
Is it, even after coming back, then the things that you want to follow. Unless and until you want to change. And this knowledge, this portion that he talks about here, if you see the consequence and you think about it, then you decide, do you want to live like that? Is this what you want? Nowadays, in fact, this discussion somebody brought it out to me, so I am reminded of that in this context. Nowadays, when you go to watch a movie in the theater, it is mandatory that they show that small awareness program on smoking just before the movie.
Yeah.
And they show the pictures of the people who were affected by cancer and all that. So, one fellow, it looks so scary.
Yeah. It looks, you know, frightening.
It looks frightening, which is true.
Yes.
That's how they suffer. It's the truth and they're showing it. So, probably I guess it's bringing certain fear and awareness in people.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't want this. Even though everybody knows that the consequence could be cancer, could be heart attack, could be many things, still, you know, it's still not gone in. So when they see this kind of a horrible story of how people suffer, then maybe deterring some people from, you know, choosing such activities. I hope so. I don't know.
No, I think it would definitely be affecting the people, and you know, at least they would be a little less.
So exactly the same thing here. The consequential effects of suffering. Once you understand, then you will be ready to pay the price. See, in this world, you can experience and enjoy contact, everything. But you are responsible for it and you will have certain consequences. And for everything, there is a price you pay. Now, you got to choose whether it's worth. Very interesting program I watched long time ago. I think BBC or some channel. Very interesting analysis that lady was making. Like, you know, you go to a supermarket, you go to a shop and you buy a shirt, let's say. And they say some price for the shirt. Now, immediately she said, think about it, like you break that into how many hours of work. X amount of work, X amount of hours. Work is what is translated into this shirt. So now you decide whether it is worth it. So much of sweat and toil. Because a lot of us buy, not merely because it is necessary. Even though we have full wardrobe, you see, keep, you know, buying. I'm not saying that this set is right or wrong, but very interesting way of doing it. So, that price that you got to pay, is it worth it? The consequential effect of tamas, rajas and sattva. What is it that he talks about? And then, transcending these gunas, embodied becomes Brahman. Now this is very much in your capacity. How you work on that capacity and try to rise. We have already seen in chapter 6 that when you try to rise, and supposing you didn't rise, and in between you die, nothing is lost because you start from where you left. See, remember, the only thing that you take with you from this jhanma to next jhanma is this knowledge. Is the difference you have brought from the level of self-awareness. Nothing else you carry. You don't carry your experiences of even the Gita class. Bad or whatever it may be, experience that you had in your life. Your physics knowledge, your chemistry knowledge, you are not going to carry all of them. Those are needed for your transactions in the world here. But when you go from this world to next jhanma, you don't carry any of this. Only your knowledge or ignorance. Only that you carry. The level of sattva, rajas, tamas, nothing else you carry. Therefore, you work on transcending this. So therefore the goal should be to eradicate tamas, control rajas and increase sattva. And slowly go beyond. And this is in your capacity. And when you transcend these three gunas, you become Brahman. A caterpillar which is bound to the ground becomes free to fly when it becomes a butterfly. So you got to transcend the limitations that are binding you. And that is possible only through knowledge. These two chapters, if you really understand what chapter 13 and 14 are talking about, the real philosophy, if you understand, then you refuse to get bound by the gunas. These gunas are like some heavy stuff tied to you which is not allowing you to take off. Just pulling you down, making you gravitate to the world. Now, therefore, if you gain this knowledge, if you reflect over them, you develop this capacity to transcend from tamas to rajas to sattva and guna. So that's what he's talking about, the last topic from 19 to 27. And this effort is worth putting in. Because it changes, it transforms your life completely. But that comes with an effort. Merely studying about these things will not help. Study and then trying to live what you study, that will help. So with this introduction, let's go to chapter 15.
Chapter
14. First verse.
Yes.
श्री भगवान उवाच श्री भगवान उवाच परम भूय प्रवक्ष्यामि परम भूय प्रवक्ष्यामि ज्ञानानां ज्ञानमुत्तमं ज्ञानानां ज्ञानमुत्तमं यज्ञात्वामुनयः सर्वे परां सिद्धिमितो गताः परां सिद्धिमितो गताः श्री भगवान परम भूय प्रवक्ष्यामि ज्ञानानां ज्ञानमुत्तमं यज्ञात्वा मुनयः सर्वे परां सिद्धिमितो गताः.
श्री भगवान उवाच द ब्लेस्ड लॉर्ड सेड परम भूय प्रवक्ष्यामि ज्ञानानां ज्ञानमुत्तमं. I will again declare the supreme knowledge, the best of knowledges, jnana muktam. Uttama means supreme knowledge. Which having known, by gaining this knowledge, what is the use? She says, by gaining this knowledge, the sages, they have gone from here to ultimate perfection. They reach a perfect state. The state today is a limited state in which you go through ups and downs, affectation and excitement, no balance. Whereas by gaining this knowledge, first thing that happens is you gain
liberation.
You gain control over your own life, first and foremost. Then you manage it and then you go beyond it. First there is something called as stress management, then controlling your stress and then going beyond stress. But manage it. But manage your emotions. Then control your emotions. And for that you need knowledge. Knowledge alone helps you to control, helps you to conquer, helps you to manage. I've given this example before. People are scared of thunder, lightning and all this. In fact, in South India, whenever there is thunder, we used to say, stay Arjuna, Arjuna. Because Indra apparently is throwing the thunderbolt and Arjuna is his son. So if you say Arjuna, then he'll probably stop. All sorts of ignorance. As a result of that, people make such statements, such beliefs. And then science gained knowledge of thunder, lightning. Now, it is using it. It knows how to conquer. The fear is gone. So knowledge alone is the remedy. Please understand. You can do all other spiritual activities. But those are for you to develop that mental frame, the frame of mind, for you to be able to gain this knowledge. But this knowledge alone will make you free. That is why he says, I will continue, I will again give you knowledge. Means what? I am going to further dwell on it. As I said, this portion is kind of emphasizing on knowledge. So I will again give. See, he has love. Because Arjuna said, give me what is good for me. What is good for anybody is free. Anything that binds you is not good for you. Something that starts as nectar, but permanently binds you, how good is that? It has, in the beginning stage, given you nectar, but now it has made you
bump.
You don't like that, right? You want to be ultimately free.
Absolutely.
Everybody likes to be free. Nobody wants to be dependent. That's why even in the hospital, even if you have taken the well, so many people, still you don't feel like suffocated. I just want to become free. I want to stand on my own legs. I want to be myself. So he says, I will declare the knowledge again. I will talk about it again. In other words, he's trying to tell you, till you establish yourself, you got to again and again and again dwell on. See, there is no difference in what Sri Krishna might say, which he has almost said everything before us. But again and again, why is he deflating? He's trying to tell us that you got to again and again dwell. Because by again and again dwelling and living in a certain way, you have formed wrong habits. And the only way to get over it is by again and again dwelling on the right habits and right knowledge, right thinking. If you stop it for a while, again you will fall back to the old habits. That's why it's extremely important to make it a habit to dwell on this knowledge until then. So he says, I will again declare the supreme knowledge. See, all knowledges vary in degree, whereas this knowledge varies in kind. That's why it's called the supreme knowledge. I've given this example before again, so try to recollect that in this context. You could have, you could be a 5th standard student, you could be a 10th standard student, you could be a PhD. The difference between the 5th standard, 10th standard, PhD is there, no doubt, in knowledge. But they are all in the dream state. In the dream state, one is 5th standard, one is 10th standard, one is PhD. Compared to that, there is another person who is open. He has the knowledge of the waker. He knows that this entire thing was a dream. That knowledge of the waker is far superior and supreme compared to 5th standard, 10th standard and PhD. Here it varies only in degree, that varies in kind. In other words, how much of knowledge you gain in the world, you are still bound. Your mind is still there. You're still operating at the level of the mind. You don't become free from the clutches of your mind. Whereas this knowledge of Brahman makes you free from the clutches of your own mind. You become no mind. You go beyond the mind. That's why it's called a supreme knowledge. Because it talks about your original self. Instantly you wake up. A tiger that has been domesticated from the childhood doesn't realize that it is tiger, it is having that ability to be ferocious and to be able to, you know, scare people. It's domesticated. It is scared of going into the jungle, but with the same tiger, when it is trained, slowly, slowly, when it understands that its original self, it's a totally different feeling. Isn't it? Before, the tiger was so dependent, domesticated. Now the tiger is understood. The moment it understands that, then it's a different tiger altogether now. Everybody else is scared. It walks freely into the jungle, alone.
King of the jungle.
So that's the thing here. I will again speak, declare the supreme knowledge.
the best of knowledge is, because it takes you, catapults you from limitation to freedom. Instantly. It all depends how ready are you. See, Guru is the same, his knowledge is the same, but how much ready are you? Arjuna was also taught by Drona. Other fellows are also taught. It all depends on how ready are you. So therefore, in fact, here in this, indirectly you are told, you got to keep putting an effort to become ready. Then suddenly it clicks, and it can happen any minute. You become absolutely free.
What a lovely thought. All born.
Mentally, you are bound by your own mind. Nobody else is binding you. Nobody else is binding you.
Yes, that's very
your own fear, your own anxieties, your own worries, your own even responsibilities. To be responsible without feeling the burden of responsibility is knowledge. You will be responsible without feeling the burden of responsibility. But now, you have the burden of responsibility hanging around you, like albatross around your neck. That's why Swami Ramananda says, your own creation is now frightening you. Like the Frankenstein, you know, there's this movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie over there. You know, he created the Frankenstein. And that fellow is supposed to kill the enemy. Now, turns against him. There is programming. It is programmed to kill somebody. The picture, now suppose you go into the software and reload your picture. Then instead of killing the enemy, he comes
like
on.
Like the Taliban in America.
Everywhere it is the same story. No. So, there's a saying also, not in Hindi. Hindi is very nice that you...
Butcher and doctor or something.
Huh?
It will make
that you
sharpen double edge.
Very nice that you used to kill others and kill you. It does.
So how you program your own mind?
So the point is, there is already law programming that you allow to happen. You need to completely cleanse them. Now this knowledge makes you stand apart and question it. See, when he said, I will give you the knowledge, he thought, okay, if I study the first verse, then this verse, so then I will become... It will make you stand apart and question everything. You will question everything. You cannot thereafter allow yourself to bow down to this unquestioned living. You will question. And because you did not question in the past, you have allowed yourself to be programmed in a certain way. You know? It's very interesting. Why? If you are exposed to this knowledge, then you will question. That's why he said, you will start questioning this limitation. So I will give you this knowledge, because this knowledge is best of knowledge, because this will do something to you and it will make you question. And thereafter, you cannot have any programming sustained in you. You become free of all programs. Even the programming of goodness. There are two kinds of programs, you know, selfish and unselfish. You are actually beyond selfish and unselfish. You are selfless. Original self is absolutely free. Neither this side nor this side. There is a certain programming. So that's what he's saying here. This is the best of knowledge. Why? Because it can make you instantly free. But for that you got to be ready. The red litmus can turn into blue any minute, any drop. It depends on the concentration. Drop by drop, as if the red litmus turns into blue. Any drop, depends on the concentration. That's why I keep emphasizing in the class also. One is being consistent in the classes. Of course, that's an important aspect. More important is daily sadhana. The more you do sadhana, certain disciplines that you follow, and we keep on emphasizing, Shama, Dhamma, Uparama, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhana, he talks about, the preparation, Viveka, Vairagya, Satsampati, and then Mumuksha. Viveka means discrimination. Nitya, Nitya, Viveka, Vichara. To discriminate between Nitya and Anitya.
But even if we understand that,
once you understand what is Nitya Anitya, then you have to stay away from Anitya. Staying away from Anitya is Vairagya. Then you will be able to stay away from Anitya to the extent you have gained these six qualities. That is Shama, Dhamma, Uparama, Titiksha, Shraddha, and Samadhi. Samadhi means commitment. Shraddha means faith, consistent faith. And then Titiksha, putting up intervenience. We don't want any intervenience. That's how we live. See, the more we pamper the body, in the beginning it's nice, but then you reach a stage where you cannot live without it. You cannot live without it. So that's the thing. So what you learn from this, you have grown when you have gained the capacity to be without. How much restraint you can practice, that much is the growth.
The same with the mind also. How much you invite your mind, it is...
You will become indulgent and then craving is there, then you will not be without it even normally. You start complaining,
complaining. Your mind and...
That shows that you are bound. So therefore titiksha. Dhamma, Shama. Dhamma means self-control. Shama means mindful. And Uparama, dwelling with those things to keep you in that. All these disciplines are important.
Otherwise you will be dependent on external.
That is why an environment like an ashram is helpful, which you temporarily create in your home. See, you've got to have that balance. If you're a student of Vedanta, of course in the family others are not. Are you with me? But since you are a student of Vedanta, you've got to balance it out. When you are all by yourself, firstly you can create time early morning for yourself, be all by yourself, job. Put up the things you need to keep. Think about certain discipline in your life. Try to see how the mind starts playing havoc. Then, you will be able to withdraw yourself from the anitya. then the desire in you for moksha to liberate. That will further take you into the sadhana and study more and you liberate. So therefore, this is the best of knowledge because it can instantly change your life. It is not as though Ratnakar became Valmiki overnight. He was ready. See, when you strike the iron, when it is hot, something happens. When it is not hot, nothing happens. So you've got to keep yourself sharp. And then this knowledge will instantly change. Overnight can change. So that is the capacity of this. So this best of knowledge I will declare to you. Which have in mind? What is the faida? The word we may say, mind still wants to know kya faida. Kya faida? That all stages have gone from here to ultimate perfection. Ultimate perfection means to be in that position where nothing affects you and you and yours. To be completely free from the vasanas. That is the ultimate perfection, where you clearly understand that you are not the manifested reflection. This manifested reflection has gotten there. You are not that manifested reflection. So, in other words, there is no such thing as perfection without. There is only such thing as perfection within. In spite of all the imperfections, you remain perfect within, and with perfect balance, you start dealing about the imperfection. In fact, such a person alone can bring about some change. No, yes.
Change in yourself.
First, change in yourself. You want to move from that being caterpillar to butterfly. First, you should become free. See, even in the modern days, the organizations where the leader first lives it brings about a tremendous change in the followers, and it's able to sail through the difficult times. You know, some of the leaders, first thing is, they have their perks. During difficult times, in any organization, their perks and everything needs to be cut. So firstly, you got to do it to yourself. You know, when you yourself show the example, others will follow. That's what brings about a team. When you put yourself as one among them, you've got to maintain a fine balance with your leader. You've got to show them that you're one among them. At the same time, you have a certain role to play, so the distance also needs to be maintained. That's a very fine balance. So he says here, that perfection, stages are reached, by gaining this knowledge, you will reach, you will gain this knowledge. To gain this knowledge, you have to study again and again, and simultaneously do sadhana. With both coming together, you will reach that ultimate perfection where you go beyond any wants, any desire. There is no wants anymore. There is nothing that you want. There is nothing that you are dependent on. You become absolutely independent. You will be in perfect bliss.
Like many times you say that a state of Anand or happiness we can feel in the mind. Emotions are felt in the mind. But to reach bliss, we have to go beyond the mind. So is just a stage of being when you don't feel na shoshati, na kanchati, nothing. But that is all because that is the thing of the mind. Okay. Your thought process is buddhi and man is your feeling. So if you go beyond this, then the state of bliss means what? That nothing affects you. Is that the state of bliss?
When you fulfill a desire, you get happiness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But
it is a feeling. It's a thought.
Exactly. So I'm saying. Again, after a while the desire comes. Again you fall into agitation.
Yes.
These are the level of the mind.
Can you please, excuse me, can you call the dog? He's trying to pajak on my chair. I
know,
I don't like this dog
moving around. It's
very distracting.
So when that cycle of agitation and desire is broken, when it's
continued. There is no more desire coming and going, coming and going accordingly. You are in a perfect
That is bliss.
That is bliss. That is beyond mind. Mind means desire.
Now the distinction is clear to
me. So you like something,
yes.
You want it,
yes.
Till you get it, you are agitated.
Correct. That
and
agitation
you get it,
is in
you are happy.
Yes.
Right. Now again, the joy content reduces when the craving starts again,
yes.
After a while.
Yes.
Because whatever it is, it's only for a while. Then again the craving starts, again agitation. Again, you have to move it. Again drop, again
this is not wonderful because I was interpreting bliss also as a feeling. So
bliss
now
is not a feeling.
It is not, now the decision is clear. Now the decision.
Beyond?
Clear.
It's not a feeling.
Yeah.
We use words.
Now the decision is clear.
A state of being.
It is a state, that is what I was thinking. So we always think that bliss is a state of being, so there is no desire in it. It is continuous because no agitation is coming there for wanting something or fulfilling something, that is all over.
Something makes you happy,
now the bliss should not be.
Rajahati yadat aman sarvan partha manogataran atmani eva atmana pushtaha tita prajna sarvichya. Remember that verse, 55 of chapter 2, when Arjuna asked to Sri Krishna to talk about the manner of perfection. First thing, Sri Krishna says is this, one who becomes absolutely free from any want, any desire, and one who is satisfied in the self, by the self, that is the state of perfection.
Bliss cannot be anything in the world.
It's not.
I don't need to be from anything, any even happiness or anything in the world. This is, again, beyond. It's not. It's a state of being where you're one with the Atma. Because it's a state of, like what we say, Satchidananda.
But this is what I was debating from a long time to ask you, Guruji. Where I said, it's such a stupid question. I said, if I don't ask, then I'll be stupid for the rest of my life. Better to ask it and hear it.
There is no such thing as stupid question.
Every question is interesting because you're learning
something. You have to remain by yourself. You know, ignorant. It's better to be seen as ignorant when you ask questions.
Of course.
Than to remain ignorant for life.
Of course.
Now it is clear.
You can't even think about it.
Now it is clear. Now.
So there he says, no? Atman yeva atmana tushta. There is nothing that you want makes any difference. Is that? Nothing that you can give or get can make any difference to you.
Yes.
That state is called as perfect.
Perfect.
Zero wants. And it's a very commanding state.
Yes.
Oh yes, for sure.
The moment you want something, then you become a slave.
Yeah.
Correct.
With anybody.
This money and Guruji, these are actually absolutely elevated states. I mean, like for a household or many things, like if you sit and you think what you have studied, try to cut out it. So it's very difficult in a household. You get pulled on so many sides.
The habits, no?
No.
Very difficult.
You can't run away, that is it.
You have to
imagine. No, when you come back to the world, again follow the discipline,
to
a great extent, you will be executing your responsibilities, but as a giver, not as a taker. See, this is the thing that you got to understand. A lot of people, I'm just saying this as an example.
Yeah.
You see, when we conduct an event, like lecture by Swamiji.
Mm.
Now, since I happen to be in charge here in Delhi, now we need some funds to organize.
Correct.
Because we are not charging the public.
Yes.
It's absolutely free. This knowledge has to be given, the tradition has to continue.
Yes.
So when we contact people
to help
means to be part of the cause, you know, to promote the cause. This is one essential cause. There are other causes also which are important.
Yes.
But this is a very essential cause. Because ultimately, the knowledge, once a person understands this knowledge, he will be or she will be a totally different person. And this knowledge has to reach people.
Yes.
Right. So we are putting that effort. Now, when you approach people for help, asking them to contribute for the cause, sometimes some people, they feel very reticent, they feel that, you know, they are asking. You don't understand, you are not asking. But that requires a lot of clarity.
It is not clear.
You are not asking. Exactly. You are not asking. You are giving. There is a certain goal everybody plays. Are you with me? So, you are not approaching them like a beggar. Even though at the external level, you are telling them if you can contribute something. But you are going to them as a giver. But not, other thing is you go there and you become very arrogant. You better give.
Yeah.
Not that.
Right.
That is also wrong. Then you better give, you know, you have so much of power to balance with your, you better give. It's not that either.
Right.
It's a very interesting line. You got to understand that.
And
here is an opportunity. We are working to spread this knowledge. Now, you being in a certain position, we feel it will be nice if you can contribute. You are approaching. They don't. So remember, it's not that person or you or anybody doing, it's Bhagavan doing.
Correct.
Isn't it?
Yes.
If you have that conviction, then you are no problem.
Correct.
That's why you must remember, it is he doing. You be a spoke and be a giver, don't be a slave. Even to your own work on a daily routine thing, you don't have to be a slave. See, when you go to business, like if somebody else is to give you business, then your factory, everything depends on their buying from you. Then you sometimes take that attitude of a slave. You don't have to. In fact, you can supply to them being a giver. You don't have to have that attitude that, you know, oh my God, he's the one who is giving me business. If I recognize him, my business will stop. And so therefore, yes, there's no
sense. Yes. I've seen a lot of that. Yeah.
You don't have to.
Fear and something.
Neither arrogance. Nor this kind of, what is the word, reticent feeling. Don't be a slave.
Okay.
Be a master. This self-esteem is what this knowledge can give you. That's why he calls this knowledge as superior in kind. Because it instills that self-esteem in you. Like that, in that poem, Mountain the Squirrel. The squirrel says, I find it no disgrace to occupy my place. I'm a small squirrel, maybe I'm just cracking a nut, a few nuts. You're a big mountain, you're making big roads and all that, fine. But it is no disgrace to occupy my place. Says the squirrel. The poem by Emerson. It's a fantastic poem. So that should be your approach to it. That's Karma Yoga. Where you, like, because you brought in that, I'm giving you this.
Yes.
You said, look, the world, we have some share. If you gain this knowledge, then you will be functioning like a master. approach of Iran, oh my God, Monday has come, now get up, go to work.
No, no, it wasn't like...
No, no, nothing new, nothing new. People ask even that. The other thing is, they become a sustenance and become dependent. Don't have
to.
You bring your product, you bring your work to the best of your ability, be a master, you give. For that service, there's a certain thing that they are giving in return. The service that you are doing. So when you are rendering a service, it needs to be tied with self-esteem.
I was coming more from the point of view, like suppose you go on a retreat. There is a certain amount of time in your study or self-evaluation or trying to think about what you read or trying to make it part of you. Once you are in your daily duty, you may not physically be having that much time to devote only to your own involvement. There are certain duties which do take you away, not in a bad way, not in being a slave or anything. I am not grudging any of the things that I am doing. But is it taking me away from this momentarily? It may not be in my thought process, but it is momentarily taking me away from it is thoda bahari na.
I don't know.
No.
It is thoda bahari.
When Krishna is on the battlefield, is he bahar, no? Inside he is always identifying with the self. So, you are thinking it is bahari because you have come to the idea that only studying, reflecting, only that is the main thing. That is an important thing now. But idea is not just sitting and studying. Idea is to reclaim the self all the time.
That should be your life.
That should be the identification.
But mine isn't. This is what I'm
saying. That's okay.
We all have a process. Mine
see,
is not.
You need, please understand. If you can be without, that is fine. If you are grown to the time, but you are not, you still have certain desires. So you have to be in the world. So why think that it's a distraction? It's not a distraction. It is, at the moment, your obligation. But do it like a master. When you do it like a master, the attitude is changed. Nothing at work, everything remains the same. The attitude is different.
No, with that there is no grudge in my at all.
When you function with that
then
attitude,
it won't take you away
then you do not create further vasana. Then it will not be something that is bahari.
It won't take you away from this. It will be this in that in your daily life.
Exactly. Then it will be part of progress. Then you will do it with love. Not like, oh my God, because of this desire I have to come out.
No, it's not actually.
So you will do it cheerfully.
But vasana, I mean, I just... So my guru, I have to be honest with you. Are there vasanas, are there asaktis? Yes, there are.
It will be in you. If you overcome others, just because you are exposed to knowledge doesn't mean that your vasanas are gone.
You actually deny that.
I'm just being aware of what your vasanas are. I was traveling this month, so you are cooking every day. Theek hai, whatever jo bhi log kha rahe, but kabhi bahut acha laga ki nahi lagta. It is a vasna. You are desiring that feedback.
But even being aware of that is a self-identity.
It is a vasna. It is bahari. Why am I looking for that external acknowledgement? But would I be happier if I got it? I would be.
Right now.
It didn't matter to me if I didn't get it, but would I be happier if I was not unhappy that I did not get it. But if a person bol de ki ha achha to lage then, so that is a vasana. Vasanas are there. Of course vasanas are there.
It will be there. And the strongest vasanas are the last ones to go. Weaker vasanas will go away first. The subtle ones will be the last ones.
I want you to expand this little bit more. The subtle vasanas,
the stronger, let's say you have a very strong vasana for something. Just because you study it doesn't mean it will go. But there are certain vasanas which are weak.
Whilst you are talking, I am trying to identify
mine. You spent so much time in thinking about certain things. So long that it's become now a big vasana in you. Strong rooted vasana. Just because you learn these things doesn't mean it will go. But you just started investing in certain thoughts. Vasana is there, but it's not a deep rooted vasana. This knowledge will take it. And this knowledge means beginning.
Yeah, correct. Huh.
But as you continue, the weaker, the stronger vasanas will
become weaker.
They test you. But satisfying you need to exercise your willpower and gain the knowledge on a regular basis with sadhana. Then slowly you are becoming stronger, where the vasana starts becoming weaker and weaker. The initial state vasana is strong. Slowly vasanas will become weak, you have to become strong. Then it will. That's why he says, no? Rasavajjam rasokyasya param drishtvani vartate. Shayati nivartante nilaharasya dehinaha rasavajjam rasokyasya param drishtvani vartate. You know, when a man of abstinence tries to abstain from the sense object, is it the sense object stops tempting him? But the rasa lingers.
Yes.
That rasa also goes upon seeing the Supreme.
Yes. But that
so that is why holding on to the Supreme is very important. Through your study, your discipline.
But that
your karma, bhakti, jnana yoga, hatha yoga.
That is also becoming a vasana, Swamiji.
Which one?
Now, not the vasana is becoming that I want to remember.
No, that one vasana.
That is becoming a vasana.
It is the vasana. To study, if you take it
to remember the verses or no?
To remember a verse is not so important.
No, what,
but to remember it is helpful.
The meaning behind it, whatever, that is also becoming a...
Then you are kind of drifting there. See, it is helpful if you can remember verses and understand the meaning. But if you kind of sidetrack your mind takes over in the process of knowledge itself, then people start giving lot more importance to memorizing the verses, remembering the verses. If that is what is happening, then
no.
I would say,
no.
If at all, in your case, maybe no. But if it is happening in somebody, then the mind is taking over your study itself. Very, very big deal. Ultimately, it's not just the remembrance of verses.
Then it is the ego which has
at that point of time it reminds you. When you remember a verse, sometimes it just becomes a help, because when you're going through a situation, it comes to you and that becomes a tool to put you.
That's what I'm saying. It's helpful.
Yeah,
but if you develop the vasana to remember verses, then that means you're indulging in the very study itself. Which can happen. A lot of people do that. They get involved in study. You see, study is one aspect. Please understand. It's not information, it's transformation.
Yes.
Therefore,
yes.
Study is one aspect.
Yes.
If you get involved in it, if you get indulged in it, then you will create vasana for that.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who have vasanas for attending classes.
Yes.
Reading many books.
Yes.
They don't know
that
it.
That also has to be transformed.
You know this word, that word. There are people who...
It doesn't matter.
Quote verses like this.
It doesn't matter.
See, in my case, we have been conducting classes for so many years. So, in fact, I am bad actually. Some people are very good. Because I am bad, I remember a few verses. They are very good, they may remember the whole thing. So, you know, you've been chanting, you've been talking about it, so certain verses automatically get memorized. But if you have a place, put in effort to memorize, nothing wrong in it.
But then, if you develop a desire, then that means you are sidetracking.
Yes.
That means your mind is taking over the very study.
So let's conclude for the day. We'll
So interesting the talk was, huh?
I sidetracked it too much.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेस्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
narayana yeti samarpanam.